So many emotions, so much anger, so much frustration, so much relief. It's Drive Time with DeRussia on a Monday where it feels like everything has changed, doesn't it? Compared to where it was this weekend in many ways. Because of a political assassination that could have been so much worse. There are so many developments, so many things developing over the last couple of hours. We've got you up to date on all of it. And we want to give you space also to share your thoughts, to react, to grieve this as a state, in a way, a loss of innocence. Yeah, I think it is a loss of innocence. We're not naive in Minnesota. There is political violence around the country. There has been conversations about rhetoric and are we too keyed up and angry and are political disputes too personal? But man, I don't think any of us thought that a Minnesotan would go to the homes of four different lawmakers in the cloak of early morning darkness with the intent to kill them and kill their families. It is disgusting, outrageous, infuriating, all of those things. Is it who we are? Is this who we are? Because I, like everyone who lives and loves this state and loves the people here, I buy the Minnesota exceptionalism. I buy the Minnesota nice. I've seen the best of us. But is it time to also grapple with the fact that the worst of us is right here too, ready to be triggered by who knows what? It's not always a logical explanation, and that's one of the things I want to talk about today. Man, we want to make sense of the nonsensical, don't we? You want to tie it into a bow. At the beginning, you wanted it, I mean, I wanted it to be a guy in custody, an end to that unease, to that fear. And I would tell you I'm lying if when I woke up on Saturday and heard that a politically motivated assassin had a list of Democrats, and on that list, he started working in my part of town, Champlin, Minnesota, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, northwest suburbs. And then today it comes out that this guy went to the home of a lawmaker in Maple Grove. That lawmaker has not yet publicly come forward to say it was my house. But Senator Ann Rest, State Senator Ann Rest in New Hope, has come forward and said, yes, I was one of the houses that this guy was sitting outside of in his squad car. This is our neighborhood. This is our community. I'm not convinced fully that this is who we are. But it's part of who we are. 651-461-9226. We have so many guests for you today. We're going to have some diversions, too. You heard in the news from Laura, we're keeping an eye on rain that came through quickly, dumped, and left. Maybe it's like a cleanse. I think it's going to take more than an inch of rain to wipe away the pain that we have. That I feel, you know, we talk to politicians on this show all the time. And I especially think of our elected state officials who are part-time legislators. And you think about, like, what their life is like. What's their real job? What are your hobbies? What do you do for fun? Because you're in a job that's what? Like a $55,000, $60,000 part-time type job. And to think that there was somebody in our community just sitting there making lists. And we will speak with the acting U.S. Attorney, Joseph Thompson, at 4 o'clock. Yep,
I just got an email from their office. It'll be 4:35 when we talk to the U.S. attorney. So
when they're ready, we're ready. But so 4:35, well, but boy, he shared a tremendous amount of information earlier today, considering the fact that this all just started at 2 a.m. on Saturday. But the fact that he went to 4 different homes and one of the lawmakers was out of town on vacation, the other, there was an unusual encounter with the New Hope police officer, because as kind of everybody started figuring out, okay, we've got a state senator, and the fact that there were survivors of that attack at the Hoffman House, they were able to piece together some information and say, all right, this seemed political. We better go check on Melissa Hortman. We better go check to wherever. There was a New Hope officer who went and checked. And boy, don't you feel for that officer? That officer who didn't really know the full picture, but did see someone in a SUV sitting outside or on the block of Senator Rest. And that officer had an encounter with the guy. And then she proceeded on to the senator's house to protect that house, protect the senator. And at that point, this guy went on to Melissa Hortman's house. It's a gut punch. It is a gut punch. And I know our elected officials who, you know, you see these men and women in parades and they're in your neighborhood. You see them in the grocery store. What strikes me about this moment in Minnesota is this is so different from some lunatic trying to kill the president. Or even some of the political violence we've had, like in Pennsylvania, where there was an attack on the governor and the governor's mansion in that state. These are state reps and state senators. Let's go to Jeff in New Richmond. So I really want to hear from you today, give you a chance to kind of share what's on your mind. We've heard from so many elected officials today. Jeff, thanks for calling in. What do you think about the what's your takeaway, I guess, at least as much as we can, you know, so soon after and not knowing all the details here?
Yeah, my concern is that politics on both sides has got their rhetoric so wound up, so advanced, so verbally energized that it's actually aggravating the situation about bringing people to the fore that want to actually act on it. These people are out there, but they're getting their permission. In a sense, from the language that the politicians are using on each other, this is my concern.
Yeah, political violence, there's a history of that in this country. It's not like that just started today or 5 years ago. But we are going to talk coming up a little bit with Chris Saliza, who's dug into some of the numbers. And the incidence of reported political violence, it's way up. It is way up. It's not just how we feel about this. It's not just the rhetoric that we see. It is. And now it's hit home, right? It I don't know if it should, you always think like, oh man, like, why does it have to hit you immediately to fully grasp the problem? But it is different when it's, somebody who had a list of people in elected officials in Wisconsin and Illinois and also then acted upon it Saturday morning. I think we have to look at ourselves though. Don't you? Jeff, like, I can't control the rhetoric from the politicians, but I can look to myself and make sure when I'm talking about this stuff, when I'm talking about issues, that I'm talking about issues, that you don't make it as personal as I feel like. I don't know if it's social media or what it is that has made us go so personal on this stuff.
Yeah, it isn't any one thing at that point, but I do think that the political language itself does end up giving people the permission to do more of this. Social media is another area, of course, where languages are more abusive because it's not person on person talking to each other. They feel like they can just let loose anything they want to say, and it ends up being more exaggerated than what really in real life ought to be. The other thing I guess I can think of is that we as a society just need to understand that media has such an impression on us, and we have ended up being more and more isolated from people just because of the social media and all the different kinds of ways of communicating, which are not in person or even by telephone anymore.
Yeah, that's wise. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for listening and for calling in. I appreciate it. Jennifer, you're on CCO. Go ahead. I want to get you in before we take a quick break.
Hi, Jason. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, remind everybody that, you know, Trump was shot in the head in his ear, daylight, less than a year ago, in front of God and everyone in the middle of the day,
right,
at a supposedly Secret Service guarded event. And then, what was it, a month later, there was a guy with long guns staked out at his golf course.
That's right.
Behind the bushes, and they were going to shoot him at the eighth hole. So, and he's a presidential candidate. So,
right.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, I guess I would say, like, in that moment where there was the initial assassination attempt while he was speaking at that rally, I guess I was hopeful that that would be kind of a wake-up call that maybe we got to dial things down a bit. And that has not been the case at all.
Yeah, I agree. yeah. One would have thought that, I mean, he was a former president, you know, and the nominated president for a major party, and dial anything back, so obviously. Yeah.
Jennifer, thank you. Thanks for listening and for calling in. Lots of texts coming in. I'll share your thoughts. It's sort of the "is this who we are?" question. And your thoughts on the rhetoric and the dialogue and all of that. My thoughts today are so grateful for the law enforcement all weekend. The largest manhunt in the history of the state of Minnesota. And the fact that this man, and I've made a point to not make a big deal about saying this guy's name over and over, because my thoughts are with State Senator John Hoffman, his wife Yvette, and Melissa and Mark Hortman and their family. And that's who I'm centering today. I hope you are too. 321. We're back in just a minute here on Drive Time. Couple minutes away from talking with Julie Blaha, the state auditor, who has a longtime friendship with Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette. The survivors, sort of incredible. And the fact that that happened really did sort of send the rest of law enforcement onto a red alert to be on top of it. Lots of texts coming in, some reaction to Jennifer talking about Donald Trump being shot, and a texter asking, does Trump being shot absolve him from his violent rhetoric? I think Tom Hauser described it well, that Donald Trump didn't set the fire of the way that we talk about politics today. But he sure carries around a pretty big canister of lighter fluid. That was Hauser's way of putting it. I think that's fair. But then another texter pointing out correctly that, you know, when we saw the congressional hearing yesterday, last week's political theater by our Congressman Emmer and Stauber at the hearing attacking Tim Walz creates an environment which drives political violence. Such political attacks must stop, starting with Trump and our national and local politicians on both sides of the aisle. I think it is comforting to try to figure out which side to blame on this. I think there are individuals who are masters of this, right? So I'm not sure that I buy this is a Republican problem or a Democrat problem, but I do buy there are individuals who are masters of it, right? And I try on this show, I always get a little mad when people say, like, I'm just trying to rile people up. I think if you listen to this show, that is very much not the case. I'm trying to have conversations. And what I mostly want to model is the fact that you can have conversations about difficult things and still have fun with it and be respectful and be nice to each other. Texter says, yes, this is who we are. Now go about changing who we are. Paul agreeing. Sadly, this is who we've become as a human race. But then there is this. No, this isn't us. It's the 0.00001% of us who are on the edge of insanity and go over the edge. I have to be honest, that is more of where my gut is on this. But the problem is it only takes the 0.0001%, because you can get your AK-47s and you can get your, you know, get your silicone mask and get your cop uniform and all of this. I think what we need to think about is there are the specifics of what happened here and what motivated this guy to make a list of Democrats and go after them. And then there's a broader conversation where sometimes things happen in the world and you say, okay, now I'm going to look within. Right? And that's what I've been thinking about today. How can I be a part of sort of improving the way we go about this stuff? How can I be a positive contributor instead of a negative influence? And I think if all of us do that, that's useful. But otherwise, it's like, of course, we're going to go into blaming whoever it is that we don't like. Right. We're going to go blame the other side. And that is sort of that's what we do. That is what we do. I think when you turn your political enemies into personal enemies, you're going to get violent. Is one party doing that more than others? I don't know. Do we blame all Democrats when Trump got shot? No. So that's the framework I'm thinking about this. Lots more room for your thoughts. We're going to have Joseph Thompson, the acting U.S. attorney, at 4:30. Julie Blaha, who knows the Hoffmans and knows Minnesota politics. She's been around it for a long time. She joins us in minutes here on CCO.